Chapter 2, in which Tommy Kail is introduced and his adventures with Lynn surveyed. For 2 years, nobody heard anything new about the Hamilton mixtape because there was nothing new to hear. Lynn got absorbed in other pursuits. With Tom Kitt and Amanda Green, he wrote the score to the stage adaptation of Bring It On, directed by Heights choreographer Andy Blankenbuehler. He did Spanish translations of the Sharks' lyrics for a Broadway revival of West Side Story. He wrote a rap during the Tony Awards telecast that the host, Neil Patrick Harris, delivered to close the show. He married Vanessa Nadal, a scientist, now lawyer, he had met back in high school. When they met again after college, they bonded over Grand Theft Auto and Jay-Z. He calls her the smartest person he knows. He turned 30, and then he turned 31. One constant in these years was Freestyle Love Supreme, an improv hip-hop group that must be seen to be believed. Taking suggestions from the audience, a word, a story, Lynn and 3 or 4 other rappers create routines on the spot, inventive, hilarious, and often moving. In June 2011, the founders of Ars Nova, an adventurous theater on Manhattan's West Side, asked the group to take part in their annual benefit. Instead of doing their usual rap-by-the-seat-of-their-pants improvisation, the group's members decided to perform songs they had written ahead of time for projects they'd been working on separately. Lynn wavered between two options. In what would turn out to be an exceptionally lucky break for musical theater, he decided against Baked to a Crisp, his song about adolescent pot use, inspired by a Junto Diaz story. Instead, he chose to premiere the second song from the Hamilton mixtape. My Shot is, in the lingo of musical theater, an I Want song. These are the numbers that appear early in a show when the hero steps downstage and tells the audience about the fierce desire that will propel this plot. Think of West Side Story when Tony sings Something's Coming, or My Fair Lady when Eliza sings Wouldn't It Be Loverly? Without a song like this, you wouldn't get very far in a musical. A character needs to want something pretty badly to sing about it for 2.5 hours. And you wouldn't get anywhere at all in hip-hop. For all of its variety of style and subject, rap is, at bottom, the music of ambition, the soundtrack of defiance, whether the force that must be defied is poverty, cops, racism, rival rappers, or all of the above. Think of Nas's The World Is Yours, Tupac's Picture Me Rollin', or Eminem's 8 Mile. Like the rappers who performed these songs, Alexander Hamilton lived hard, wrote fast, and hustled his ass off. "For to confess my weakness, Ned," he wrote to a friend at age 14, "my ambition is prevalent." This man was born to perform an I Want song. Which is not to say that My Shot was easy to write. As Lynn moved from project to project after his White House performance, the song lurked, semi-finished, in his notebooks. He wrote and rewrote, trying to capture Hamilton's sprawling ambition in beats and rhymes. It took more than a year to get it right. When the time came to perform it, when Lynn stepped forward as Alexander Hamilton himself for the first time, he learned that writing it had been the easy part. At Ars Nova that night, Lynn took the stage with Chris Shockwave Sullivan, another member of Freestyle Love Supreme. Chris began to beatbox. Lynn began to rhyme. He managed only a few bars before he got tangled in his words. He had gone way, way too fast. Lynn waved Chris off. He told the crowd that he needed to start over. They loved it, which didn't make him feel any less horrible. Chris started beatboxing again. Lynn took it from the top, but slower. He nailed it. 3 dense minutes of rapping about Hamilton's plans for his ascent and the country's. The crowd loved it even more. Out there in the dark, cheering with the rest, sat Tommy Kail, the director of Freestyle Love Supreme, and in the Heights. Lynn had been telling him about Hamilton for 3 years at that point, beginning with the G-Chat messages he had sent from Mexico while reading Chernow's book. Tommy could tell that My Shot left the audience hungry to hear more of Hamilton's story. He certainly felt that way himself. Lynn and Tommy's first Hamilton exchange, a Google chat transcript, 8108. 11:21 a.m. Lynn, Mexico! Tommy, ho ho ho, how's things? Lynn, is hot and full of booze. 11:22 a.m. Tommy, believe it. Is the place nice, having fun? Lynn, I don't want to come home. I like reading performance reports drunk on Miami Vices. Tommy, ah, stay. You ought to stay. Lynn, if I marry V, I don't know how I can top this place. We have a private roof pool. I've literally never seen the people who clean our rooms. They're ninjas. 11:23 a.m. Tommy, wow, two dreams came true. Lynn, how's STC doing? Tommy, I sent you a sesame email a few minutes ago, before you chatted me, just so you have it. I am not trying to have you work. 11:24 a.m. Lynn, don't worry, I won't. Lots of Ping Pong, Mad Men, Season 1, Backgammon, and Hamilton reading. Tommy, I went Tuesday. When the performance ended that night, everybody trooped upstairs to drink and mingle. Tommy found Lynn and told him that he should get serious about developing the Hamilton project. They both should. What does a theater director have to do with a hip-hop album? Plenty. Tommy wasn't just the guy who staged Lynn's material. He had become a close friend and something like an artistic confidant. Tommy had started a theater company after graduating from Wesleyan. A friend from school suggested that he consider producing a show by Lynn, who had been a freshman when Tommy was a senior. They never met, and their closest brush hadn't gone well. Tommy was annoyed that people kept showing up at the theater where he was working to take lights and other gear for the sake of some freshman's musical. In June 2002, they had their first meeting to talk about the show that would become In the Heights. Somehow, in the course of that conversation, one of them started quoting a legendary verse by Big Pun. Dead in the middle of Little Italy, little did we know that we riddled some middlemen who didn't do diddly. And the other finished it. We cocked our heads at each other in recognition, Tommy recalls. It was like two dogs in the park going, oh, you live in this neighborhood too. The shared love of theater and hip-hop led them to collaborate on Heights, and that collaboration revealed something far more important. The talents of each complemented the talents of the other. Growing up in New York, Lynn had developed an instinct for the spotlight. Grabbing the mic at family functions, imagining himself on stage whenever his parents could take him to a Broadway show, giving free rein to a creative impulse that was inexhaustible, omnidirectional, sometimes counterproductive. He and some friends got arrested once for busking on a subway platform. A well-placed friend of his father got him out. Growing up in Alexandria, Virginia, Tommy cared a lot more about sports than theater. He excelled at soccer and baseball and thrived in the middle of the action. But in high school, his understanding began to outpace his ability. I could see what was supposed to happen on the field, but just wasn't able to do it, he says. I realized my role needed to shift. That precocious insight, to recognize the talents of the people around you and position himself accordingly, was a superb start to a directorial career. It put him in the ideal frame of mind to cross paths with a young writer who literally had more ideas than he knew what to do with. At the Ars Nova reception, Tommy proposed that Lynn start sending him Hamilton material on a regular basis. In fact, he thought he should aim to present a concert version of Hamilton songs in 6 months' time. The room could be small, the stakes could be low, that didn't matter. What mattered was setting a routine of writing and feedback. Lynn agreed. Then, a few days later, the profile became very high indeed. Lincoln Center invited Lynn to perform in the American Songbook concert series. Tommy thought it could be an excellent way to try out Hamilton songs, even though it put pressure on Lynn to write and polish enough material to suit such a prestigious occasion. Still, how could they pass up this chance? Or, as Lynn had put it for the first time that night at Ars Nova, how could they throw away their shot? Lincoln Center had offered him the Allen Room on the night of January 11th, Alexander Hamilton's birthday. Pictured above, rehearsal for the national tour of In the Heights.